How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you, Mustachio? Mr. Mustachio?
Good, good,
twitching
good.
Your lip like that.
It's mustache.
Hi, hi. It's been a hot minute.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Biggest coffee cup ever. How you going, man?
Yeah, good. I don't know how you say it, not callously. I had an expected death of a family member. It was just an older family member that was up in age for sure and was in hospice. And
yep.
Kind of the right time for them. I'd been, I think, 92 years old. So went back for the funeral for that. See family and all that, and so we didn't record last week.
Yeah, and where was that? Back in the homeland, the Nebraska. Heartland, Nebraska. Yeah,
the good place.
Got other than yeah. How much family do you still have back there?
Four people. No,
bits and bobs.
Ten. Well, yeah. There's like a whole side of my family.
Yeah, okay.
Quite a few.
Right. Significant, yep.
Yeah. A lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time. A lot of people have gray hair now. It's just weird. Like, just not, I mean, myself included, just you move away for, what's it been, 13 years now from that area, and then you see people maybe every few years, most of the time not. It's just, I don't know, it's interesting. Makes you, and then going to a funeral, the messaging is like, what are you doing with your life? Are you doing everything you want to do with your life? It's like,
yeah.
Yes, I think
what's your elevator pitch for family members you haven't seen for a long time of what Justin does?
What, my business? Oh, well, most of them know not to ask anymore. Yeah. it's kind of like they know I do things with machines and make stuff, but they don't really know what. And so it's like I say, well, you know, we have these machines, CNC machines that make stuff with a computer, and now we sell products to people that have similar types of machines. We used to make stuff for people mostly, and now we make products that help those businesses out. That make stuff similar to how we used to. So that, I guess I don't know if they understand that or not, but because everything about it is blasphemy, or not blasphemy, it's impossible. Like, you know, a black box. They're just like, what do you
right,
mean?
Okay.
There's a tool held in a tool holder by a collet in a spindle. Like, none of it's... Well, do you know what a dust boot is? No, absolutely not.
Hmm. Yep.
They see me on the internet. One of my cousins was like, oh, I just watched your Roomba video in a shop. I thought that was pretty good. We might do that in our business now. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Like it.
Sweet. Following along. Good. Good, good, good.
Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
No, I hope not. Hello?
I lost your audio.
I didn't do anything.
There we go. Maybe.
There we go. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Can't hear. No. What just happened? There we go. Yeah. Something weird happened there. We're back.
Lost you. You're back. Okay. Haha.
What's up with you?
Old man Jim continues to suffer from some sort of post-viral arthritis thing, which is frustrating.
Dang.
Two and a half weeks into that nonsense. Yeah. Limping around. Unless I take ibuprofen, then I feel normal. Otherwise, I'm limping around like geriatric. Not that there's anything wrong with geriatrics. But yes. yeah, it's frustrating, but I've seen various docs, getting some blood tests done, checking there's nothing nasty going on, but everyone seems to think it will fade. as my immune system gets a handle on things. So yeah, just dealing with that and just worky. Feeling like just, it's a classic thing, I think, as the year progresses, there just seems to be less hours in the day. Start off the year optimistic and fresh energy, having time for making videos and things, and that I can't imagine now where I would squeeze in the time to make a video.
I have that exact feeling now, right? And even chatting with one of the things I just asked one of the AI assistants lately was like, you're gonna laugh, but I was like, it's the thing we talk about a lot here. How do we half it, half the time of something, or double like a good thing? And I was like, how do I double my monthly revenue? And it was like, well, that's a, like, the stupid GPT like chatbot is just like so relative, lofty, unhelpful most of the time, I feel like. And it's like, that's a lofty goal. You might try to like advertise more. And I was like, oh, thanks. That's, you know, what are specific advice pieces?
Double your monthly revenue.
So I've done it.
Is that what you want to do?
5-step plan.
Yeah, what's the 5-step plan?
Oh, the connection there was, you should make more videos. Those seem to work well for you. And I was like, I should. But that's like a whole nother job.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I was chatting to Laura about it, and she made a sensible point. I was like, well, remember at the start of the year where you didn't have enough work? Maybe that's why, because there were less jobs in the system and you weren't quality. There were less leads and blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough. That's fair. Maybe I was doing less quoting, less drawing at the time. But the other factor is just like, we had a good couple of months of product sales there, but they've dropped, Shopify sales have dropped off significantly.
Oh, interesting.
Down 55%, which just means the majority of the work is now coming very manually through me. So I just feel chronically behind on quotes or drawings or all of the above. Whatever, you know. I still enjoy quoting the custom stuff and chatting to people, and but would like to invert that balance, get the product side back up again. But yeah, same question, like, how do I do that? I don't know.
I think there's going to be some type of like I don't even know, some book that will be like the secret to what I needed to make this massive change. I mean, like, Profit First was in a certain way the opposite of that, where it's like keeping more money in the bank account versus trying to make more money. It's been helpful, but like, I want the opposite now. Is like, how do you find the next, not even the next big thing. How do I sell more of the things I already have to sell?
Yeah, it's funny seeing, like, kind of, you know, I got sucked into an ad on Instagram recently. I'd seen these ads over and over again because I was very much their target market for those brick, those RFID brick devices where you can brick your phone and, like, lock out certain apps as this little widget. It's just an RFID thingy. Lock out apps with
it. It's like a scrambler?
No, it's just literally, you know how your phone can scan cards and stuff and pretend to be a card. It's just it's a physical device. It lives at work. I break my phone before I go home, so I've got no access. If I'm not at work, I don't have access to Instagram, YouTube, Reddit, all that stuff. Relatively new acquisition. Anyway, heavily advertised on Instagram. I fell victim to the ads, bought one for me, one for Laura. They only recently turned up. But as it turned up and I was looking at the little box on the bench, I was like, wow, these two young guys in their 20s came up with this thing, and it's a very simple device. They've obviously nailed their marketing, and like, I wonder how many of these things, these widgets they've sold now, like so many, I expect.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to think about like those businesses. I don't know. Yeah, you're making excuses maybe, but businesses that seem very attuned to scaling. And I'm feeling very unscalable right now as I handle, you know, almost every sale in a very manual manner.
All right.
Yeah. Bottleneck gem is the current, is the theme of the month. I am the bottleneck.
Yep, yeah. I guess, yeah, that's, it's our, you know, waves of these kind of things happening where I feel the bottleneck in different ways, and luckily most of our sales are not through somebody needing to like complete something prior to the sale happening, or like a quote, or and strangely still, like, go back to the money thing. Our sales are great right now, which is confusing, because all the other people I talked to were like, "Ah, things are slow. Like, it's not going, you know, quite like I'd want." And in general, it's not like any specific thing. It's, you know, that like general, like the internet's working for me right now. Like, it's just, we're getting sales. It never really seems to matter if I send out emails, although we did launch a new type of tool holder pre-order that we sold, you know, decent amount of, which came from an email. But other than that, it's like one or two emails a month. So I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'll take it, I guess, right now.
Have you been posting much on the socials? No, not that much.
No, it's just absolutely garbage. I don't know if it's because I haven't done it enough. I haven't satisfied the gods, but just between videos and grid posts, it's just nothing.
Yeah, so I'm
no
same.
Response.
Very low.
No algorithm
at the moment. Yeah,
averaging 1,200 views the last three reels each.
Yeah,
it's doing well.
Yep. Yeah, I wonder what's going on. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's good that your sales are good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like I never really feel, it's like moderately comforting in the moment, but like looking forward, I'm always like, what's tomorrow? What's next month? Like, is it going to be, is this where it falls off? And that fun feeling.
The upside of having been the bottleneck with sales at the moment and doing a lot of quoting. I mean, I shouldn't complain. Like, if I reflect for a second, like, so much of our work is like ideal now, like customized kit parts, like that's and customized shells, which is awesome. Bloody fantastic. And the one of the upsides of a lot of it going through me is it's kind of forcing my hand to continue to improve my quoting systems in Rhino. And like Rhino basically runs my business now. I was thinking yesterday as I was like tapping away on shortcuts of like, wow, it's like I've got so many little scripts running in Rhino now that are saving me an enormous amount of time. And
right.
I added a script yesterday for when like I'm customizing a kit of parts for someone, and I like change the depth and model some new shelves for them that are non-standard.
Yeah,
they're not blocks, and in the past I've had to sort of then manually quote those components and add them into the price. And I was like, I should just be able to come up with a catch-all formula that just like measures the volume of these closed poly surfaces in Rhino and then punches them through my pricing script along with all the other block counting pricing stuff. And I did some analysis. I'm like, okay, this seems like a good cost per cubic millimeter of custom shelf.
Right.
Did some tests, ran that into like plug that into my pricing script. And so now, yeah, even more time saved with another Rhino script add-on, which is rad. Like, I love that stuff. But yeah, so many now little scripts running in Rhino that help me save a lot of time. It's awesome.
Ken, I'm connecting a couple things. You probably thought of this. Since you have all these somewhat automatable things, can somebody else be doing this?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
At least part of it. Or like cross-training.
Since, yeah. I mean,
the scripts basically make it like something that's like, you know, beautiful screen share recording and a quick little document. I bet somebody could get away with a lot of, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily like a skill anymore.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's still the design problem solving bag. If I want to hold my cards close to my chest and think that I'm doing special, something special. I'm still solving spatial problems for people, which, you know, yes, other people can do that. And I keep threatening to cross-train Johnny in sales stuff just so that I'm not the only one that can do it. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm keen. I mean, and he has come up to speed with in Rhino this year. He was just reinstalling his computer yesterday, like getting Rhino back onto it and like getting all these little scripts up to date and his aliases and stuff. So yeah, he's come up to speed a lot, which is awesome. So yeah, I've got that opportunity sitting there. I should be doing more to get him practicing on some, let him loose on some clients, see what happens. But I'm just, I guess I'm in that sort of protective, I want to do it all mode, whilst also like
just
wanting to do it all.
Right, just do it. I don't know, like the thing that sort of worked was like, although it took absurd amount of time, is I'd have somebody go through and try to quote something, and then we'd talk about it before it was sent.
Yeah, totally.
Just check it.
Check it.
Anyway,
it's check stupid, it, man.
Obvious.
Zip, zip.
Some spicy things on this list.
What are your bottlenecks, mister?
Not a bottleneck so much. The thing that has caused the most consternation is a customer that contacted us through our website. I had a live chat with them. They asked some questions about dust boots for their machine. It's pretty standard setup. Cut sheet stock. It's not a complicated type of operation typically. And I did the normal. Like, and they're like, well, is it going to be better? And I was like, well, yes. We basically only recommend you use a 5-inch duct for your dust boot, which is our standard. That's what it's designed for. You can use a 4-inch duct if absolutely necessary and you still want to use it. We don't recommend it. It's like literally not a recommendation. Said that to them and they said, okay, yeah, so if the 4 doesn't work for me, because that's what they wanted to use, I can upgrade to a 5. Just switch my duct. And I said, yep. So they bought the product, didn't hear anything. And we get an email with photos of, oh, they also put a duct tower, of a duct tower that is, it's 10 gauge steel, which is, do you use gauges there?
No, I mean, people do, but I don't know what they are.
3.4 millimeters thick.
Yeah.
Thick, pretty thick steel. Three different parts that hold it up. And it holds the duct on kind of near the spindle, so it doesn't drag on anything. It's kind of this. This thing is bent like this, which is, I don't know, what is that? 60 degrees? It's supposed to be straight up and down, like 180 degrees. So it's maybe the 40% bend. Still attached to the duct. And then the other photo is a broken part of the dust boot bottom plate. And this person claims that it's not working well and that the parts came defective. And so we immediately replied the same day. I'll try and make this as short as I can, but it's a very drawn out process.
It's juicy.
And more or less, this person, we've caught them lying about not seeing our emails because they wanted an immediate refund when we offered free replacement parts and suggestions on how to use the products correctly. Pretty damn certain, because now we've gotten the parts back, that they did not come defective, never were defective. They crashed the dust boot into something a lot because there's big impact marks on one side of it that do not come from shipping. The box that we sent the product in is still intact and not, because we got it back, and not destroyed. So basically they've, in our opinion, lied about the products being defective, wanting a refund. And that's fraud in America, actually. And there's laws in my state and their state about this. Our return policy is pretty liberal. Usually it's like, if you don't use the product, it's not, you know, used or destroyed, and it's not our fault that it's broken, we're going to replace it or refund you or whatever. I offered to replace all these parts that he broke free. Just like refuses to communicate and threatened to file a dispute of his credit card if I didn't give him a refund. And so we found out at the end, my last little bit here is, we found out after we got the parts back, after I offered him some form of a refund if he sent the parts back, that they were lying about, like, that it wasn't defective, and we assumed that, but it's very obvious that it was run into something multiple times.
Yeah.
30, 40 times. So we've been trying to rationalize how to deal with this. And I thought of your video about the pricing thing, and I'm trying to summon my inner gem, like, how do you stand up for yourself as a two-person company that somebody's trying to scam you, basically?
So do you think they've deliberately damaged it?
It's negligence.
Negligence.
I think they didn't read any guides or instructions that we included. They didn't jog their machine around carefully or adjust any of their ducting. They just threw it on and sent it. And the dust boot, I don't know what they did, but it's definitely ran into something a lot. Nobody's ever been to Duck Tower before of the hundreds we have sold. It takes like a lot of force.
Far out. So now what?
I don't know. You tell me, please. I know we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
I feel differently now that we've gotten the parts back and there's more deceit than the original, like, assumption of it. Like, it's just very clear that it was not broken when he got it.
feel slightly ill. I don't know. Just cut your losses. Dispense with them.
That does not feel good.
No.
That was part of my plan until we saw the additional lies.
So what, this person's waiting on a response now what you're going to do?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because they don't respond to emails, basically. And our Help Scout has, which most of them do, has like view tracking. And so they would see every email, but then claimed and outed themselves as not seeing the emails, but then had a timeline of responses in that one of their two responses to us. It's like, wait, so you saw all the emails the whole time? The reason I got in touch with him finally, because he wasn't responding to our emails, but seeing them, was I went to their website and contacted through their website. And then he finally responded.
Oh, wow.
Just childish behavior.
Dude. Get rid of it. Make it go away. No one's got time for this.
I spent way too much time on it already. Okay. I don't know. I don't like that. I want to make one of those good gym videos. It's like, nothing. We're going to fight back against these bastards. And then get angry comments.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just encourage vitriol. Tricky line.
That's okay. Okay. We can move on.
You have my opinion. You have my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Probably the smart thing. Be the adult.
Yeah.
I see something down this list that I wanna know about more than the other things.
What gets your attention?
What happened to your sander?
Oh, Johnny broke it.
Oh. Rapid move? Hopefully not.
Nah, jogging. Yeah, CNC sanding tools, orbital tool thing. Got a bit bent the other day, which is unfortunate, but it's, you know, I think it's probably just, it was bound to happen in terms of us learning such things. And you know, he was air cutting and doing all the right things, carefully proving out the program. And then it's like on the teach pendant, it's with the jogging function. It's like you've got a joystick and you can jog around, and you've got a button you have to press, but like, because you've got three axes on one mode, and then you press a button, and you switch to the other three axes, and then the same joystick does the other three. And so you've got six axes, six directions to learn on this little joystick. And it's quite confusing. Like, I've definitely found myself in positions where I'm like, oh, okay, which way do I have to go? I've got to get out of this situation. Yeah. It's like, oh, I need to, you flick the joystick. It's like, no, that's the wrong way. Anyway, so John was...
I have that feeling with three axes often. John was...
I'm like, cool. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, backwards.
John was caught in a spot and he just jogged the wrong way and stacked the sander into the table and it ran bent. But the nice person at CNC Sanders, whose name I don't know, has generously offered to try and fix it, replace a part for us. So it's been sent home.
How?
For repair.
Back to America.
Back to America. So yeah. But meanwhile, John was making great progress on some new sanding tool paths. He's got a trial of ENCY, which I think is like the newest, latest and greatest evolution of Sprut Cam, as far as I can tell. And it's a super duper expensive piece of software, but he's, you know, he's got it for a month and he's got a sales rep online who's very keen to help him. And it looks like a splendid piece of software. Like watching him use it the other day, I was like, damn it, John, that looks expensive and nice. What are you doing?
Put it away.
Why are you playing with this?
Do they need influencers?
It's pretty bloody niche. I don't think they need influencers.
That's a terrible name. Like, isn't it? I don't mean to out him right now. Just NC?
NC?
You can't even spell that from like how you... Could be an I, could be two E's.
NCCAM.
Could be no E at the beginning.
It's got machine builder functions. Like, we could build a version of the pencil sharpener in NC and then, you know, actually have proper simulation and CAM program with the pencil sharpener. Like, it's super, super versatile. Anyway, John's been mucking around with that, starting to get some good results, and he's got like a nice bevel sanding tool path out of it now. But we're just held back by the little tooling issue. But yeah, so he's making progress. I barely had time to touch the robots other than a bit of networking shenanigans. I've got them on like a shared air-gapped intranet at the moment. So they've got their own network switch. And I was having a hell of a time getting good, reliable FTP like transfers. And then I stopped using my Mac and just used an old PC. It was like, lightning fast. So all of a sudden. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So you're saying they have just enough connection that they can act against you now as a team.
Yeah. They can talk to each other. So I'm using the chatter sync. So the chatter sync is the one sort of networked connection from the wonderful world of the internet to this sort of somewhat air-gapped network. So if the chatter sync was
local still, right?
Yeah, it's local. If the chatter sync was somehow compromised, then that would be the downfall of the system. But I don't know how secure those things are. But it seems to be just running locally via my VS code. I don't know. I don't know about these things. Anyway, feels like a good compromise for now.
Yeah.
Chatter sync my files over.
Roughly the same as hacking a computer or your network. I don't know.
I don't know. So yeah, cool. That's pretty much all I've done in Robot Land. Just a bit of networking. Don't know. Yeah.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. I've been working on the new shop design. So it turns out I'd done all of my designs up until a few days ago have been just 2D top down. Oh, like put that machine there and put that there and blah, 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 blah.
And drag then some blocks around.
Drag some things, some rectangles around. Oh, that's looking nice. And then I started building it in 3D and dropped in the robot models and CNC model and pallet racking. I was like, oh shit, this is tiny. Suddenly got real cramped. That was eye-opening.
That was always such a shock. I think I learned one of those lessons at one point. I still fail it all the time in architecture school. It's like you work in plans and then like they have you make your little spaces that you're trying to make out of like cardboard, and it's like you realize like, oh, I can't even walk through that. Like it's way too small.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to make a bathroom on a train one time. It was
Cool.
It was rough.
Yeah. So I need to get back into that, but it'll work. I don't know. I'm kind of torn because if I look at it from a sort of home workshop perspective, it's like, wow, that's an awesome home workshop. But if if I look at it in direct comparison to how much space we have the luxury of now, it's like, oh, that's so tight. How's this going to work? But it is what it is.
Just be like an agricultural setup where it's like every day you have to make like a giant outdoor work area and tear it down and put it back in. You have to fill all available indoor space with an exterior structure that gets pulled in and out every day.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
It's temporary, that's right. So yeah, we'll just have to get smart. But
what's certainly the timeline on that? Is there any?
It's moving slowly because our lawyers are busy. And so we've been waiting ages now, maybe 3 weeks for them to just have time to look at the building contract. Once I think they're working on it now, maybe we'll get something back today. Mm. But yeah, then we can send that back to the builders. And then that'll start the planning permit process, and then that goes into council. So that could take a month or two. Yeah, it's slow, slow, slow. But yeah, maybe a year. I'm guessing it'd probably be a year before we move. Yeah, that's right. My best guess at this point. Right.
It's interesting to be your own owner and not have the timeline constraint of the landlord too, like a lease cycle or something.
That will come into play once this goes on in the market, and then the challenge will be trying to find a buyer who's willing to buy it, but also rent it to us for a period of time. So for that crossover of like, as we're finishing the new place, we basically need the capital from selling this to finish building the new one. And so that'll be a bit of a tricky balance. That's the next challenge, but we'll cross that when we get to it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, right. That makes me think of some of these conversations. I've been seeing a lot more people posting videos with Meta Ray-Ban branded crap. Do you see those on like Instagram primarily?
Like shot it? made on Ray-Bans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My friend's been trying to convince me to buy some.
I don't see the allure at this point myself. Like, the one use case that seems interesting is Gimbal Automation. Is that their name? He's been making videos of, like, I always forget what everybody else calls them. I call them, like, guides, best practices, standard procedures.
Oh, SOPs.
Whatever they're called.
Standard operating SOPs. Procedures.
I don't know those words for some reason. Is making those and then kind of sharing them. And what I find about them that's interesting is it is a decent... I can absolutely see the value, because when I do that kind of thing, I strap my phone to my chest with that little weird MagSafe thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's do it right now. I think it was like $20, but it is handy. It is a little bit dongly, where... You can then, like, the problem is it kind of, like, it's like I have a clitage that bounces all around. It's a little hard to aim, and you got to do it on, like, wide mode, but it is good because you have hands free and you can see your hands in it. So it's kind of like that, except for the problem is all these videos I'm watching, people don't yet understand their head as a camera. So they're, like, looking around really fast, and you're, like, getting, like, sick in their, like, first-person view. You're like, this is why things should be mounted like this, you know? Kind of like a flaw in that type of use case for me. And then, like, what I want is more like augmented reality. I don't want to capture it so much that way. I want to be able to see overlays and, like, it's interesting if it can, like, you can say kind of like GPT vision chat, where it's like, what's in, you know, what is that red thing over there? And it's like, oh, that's a ball.
Yeah, so that was one of my curiosities with it. So my friend has got some and keeps trying to convince me to get some. His hobby is flying acrobatics in a biplane, and he shoots awesome POV videos of him fanging around the sky. I was like, great use case, cool thing. And my attraction to them is being able to shoot on the fly process videos in the workshop of like, I'm doing the thing and I've got two hands and then I'm working through this problem on the robot and blah, 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 blah. That would be fun. But then I tried his just out of curiosity in terms of that AR, like having AI in your ears, being able to ask like, hey Meta, what is this? And it was pretty shit. Like, I don't know if we've got a different AI service in Australia than what you might have there, but it was pretty terrible. Like, it since I tested it on a few things, and it either hallucinated, misinterpreted what I was looking at, or just had no real like useful real world sort of. intelligence. Right. So yeah, I wasn't particularly sold on it, but I do like the idea from a content point of view.
I can absolutely see, for as much as I pull out my phone and use that feature with the Vision GPT thing, I can see, I don't know. If I don't love the idea of strapping like a computer to my head so much, but I also didn't want a computer watch for that same reason, and look who wears a dang Apple Watch all the time now. But I can just absolutely see when we actually get good, you know, whether it's AR or even just the capture, and it's not augmented, it's more just like the feedback system that, you know, you get with, like, if I could have GPT on there or something better, mm-hmm. I can see that being really valuable.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be amazing, sort of augment. If it worked well, the augmentation could be great. You know, in the same way that video mode on Chatty can be really useful for fixing things and problem solving. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see the future of it being pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think my AI abhorring wife would have an issue with me wearing AI around in my face all the time, though. Which is fair enough.
Yes. That was like the first conversation I heard about it. It's like, you gonna take those glasses off before we go to the bedroom? Are you live streaming this? I didn't realize we had an account. How I make more money for.
That's how you double your revenue.
All the things. Yeah.
Wow. Have you got new Sim Theory yet?
I don't know what you're talking about. I saw this. You get the Australian perk there?
No, I don't have it yet.
Actually, mine's working terrible.
That suggests they're doing a rollout.
Maybe so. I had a big long discussion, and I can't get it to respond anymore. And I don't know how to. I don't know. That doesn't happen anymore. So, like, how do you? Like, usually when I roll to a new thread, when one kind of dies, I like say, "All right, summarize this," but it doesn't work. So, like, how do you get that data back out?
I suspect they're doing an update, like, within this 24-hour block.
Yeah, 2.0, yeah. Is that what it was?
Some new version. I saw that. Baked in MCP stuff. So it'll be interesting when it arrives. But yeah, mine doesn't seem to have rolled out yet. It still looks samey, same tools. But keen to check it out once it drops.
Really salivating for them to do a proper iOS app.
I know, right?
Because there's so many times I want to use the features of Sim Theory or the models or the chats I already have going and the data that's all there. And all I got is I just have GPT, which, you know, fantastic audio, visual kind of like back and forth, but the kind of intelligence of it, the chat app is kind of pissing me off lately. It's just too like spacey.
Yeah, same. It's pretty useless a lot of the time in terms of how cursory it can be.
Yeah. Right.
Agreed. I finally did that thing that you've suggested many times in Cursor the other day of like, just simplify this for me. I feel like I'd tried it a few times and it had failed massively. Like, it had just completely broken everything with my, this is in the Kit of Parts builder. Like, a few times I tried your prompt of like, hey, let's modernize this. Let's make it better. Let's use blah, 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 different language. And it just like completely killed all functionality and done a horrible job. And then kind of by accident the other night, or not by accident, but just I was very, very sort of informal. I sat down to make some mods and I was like, hey, this, oh no, I was forced. My hand was forced. That's right. Cause Shopify was like my huge monolithic, like single HTML file that does the whole thing was up to like almost 6,000 lines of HTML in a single file. And, I couldn't upload any changes to Shopify. It was like, no, you are over the kilobyte limit for this, for a liquid file in Shopify.
Like,
crap. Okay.
I bet that was running pretty slow. Yeah.
Well, nothing. You know, it was running fine, but it's just it wouldn't let me save changes. So I was like, oh, crap. Okay, I need to do something about this. So I quickly just jumped into Cursor without really thinking. I was like, hey, this is getting too big. Can you just like remove redundant functions? And it had a crack at it, and then crashed or couldn't save the file down, and blah blah blah. And then I thought that hadn't worked, and then I opened up its web-optimized HTML file and checked it, and I was like, oh, actually, this is pretty good. Like, you've cut over half the lines of code out of this, and it's still functioning almost normally. It's just a couple of things we need to fix.
Did it make external components, or like...
No, it's still monolithic.
Files?
It's still just one file.
Wild. Right. I actually don't even know how that works with HTML. So a lot of the stuff I work on is with React, so I don't know how...
Yeah.
If that is a thing. But yeah, it's good that it combined it. It is... The refactoring stuff with the thinking models is so cool.
Yeah, and that must be the difference, maybe, that it's doing more thinking now. And it managed to successfully do it and maintain pretty much all functionality. Like, literally, I lost a couple of things that were easy to reinstate. So yeah, that's cool. Super impressive. So I've made a few little updates there. Got some like things now we can drop in standard like household objects like records, TVs of different sizes, and amplifier, turntable.
Yeah.
I've had some good feedback on already from users, so that's nice. Keep that going.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to make little updates like that, right? Like,
I do love it. I love to be in control of it. I love that I'm not paying a developer.
Your story of this is just like so wild. It's like it'll be the early story of AI capabilities, I think, for me for a long time. Like, how much it costs to have that, you know, off-the-shelf product versus what you've created that works better for way less money.
Oh, no, you just found a bad link.
A month?
Yeah, now I'm paying $20 a month. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yep.
Well, I guess also whether you want to change it or not, the slug on your actual page says configurator still too.
Oh, no. I'm so bad at this stuff. How? Justin, tell me how.
I'll show you. You want me to do it live? Let's fix your website live.
Let's fix some live slugs.
Just crash Bamboo Studio. Cool.
Oh, I crashed my printer bad. My printer. It's my printer now, Laura. Do you hear me?
Well, it is now. Brookie, you own it.
Now that it's broken, it's my printer.
Got to get her a new one.
Yeah, sloppy. I didn't change the plate before I ran something else. And
I've done that once.
40 minutes later, it was like, oh, you've got a spaghetti issue. And it's like it had been extruding into itself for 40 minutes, like just this huge molten blob of PLA and PETG it had just all over the hot end up into the fan enclosure. It's disgusting. I just like looked at it, turned it off and walked away. Couldn't bring myself to attempt to fix. Took me about a week to look at it again and go, okay, I really need the printer now, better fix it. And assuming that I'd have to replace like a whole lot of hot end parts, I just manually jacked the heat up on the hot end, waited a minute, like literally a minute, and I was just like wiggle wiggle wiggle, and this whole blob just slid off. Amazing.
That's one of the old school, like, even like the crappiest printers we ever had, it was like, just crank up the hot end if stuff's stuck in it. Maybe it'll melt out.
I was amazed.
You can do that with a spindle too, just crank it up.
Fixes the bearings, just get them up to 500 degrees.
So much better.
Be happy.
when they're so hot they don't care anymore. That's not advice.
Here.
Interesting.
How's your fleet of printers buzzing away?
It's fine. The four X1s are still printing. We're still on a weird kind of working on a prayer of PETG high flow. It's still just no timeline. We're like, I want to say it's like 6 weeks in, to them putting it out of stock, every version of it out of stock suddenly with no warning and no timeline. I think in like one post somewhere, like in a response to a forum post someone made, which I'm surprised there's not more outcry about it. Because I check every once in a while, I'll go look at the forum, like maybe there's a new update. And the best I saw was maybe in July or August. And I don't know. Like I said before, I found enough that tided us over at a exorbitant rate of what I normally pay for it, because it was like a third party and they, you know, charge what they need to charge, which is fair. But that's the only thing that's moderately concerning about printing stuff for us lately. It's just, I don't know. We've actually, so at the same time when I bought that material, I bought a handful of other replacement options, and there is some secret sauce going on once again with bamboo filament, where most other filaments can't print the same speed and like consistency as the bamboo filament in the bamboo printers. And so, or it's, you know, it's not really the, like nothing matches colors. So if you have, the example is if you have our tool tags and you want to buy more, I don't want them different colors for you. Like I wouldn't be stoked about that. And so we found as close as we can if we have to go to it, but still holding out.
Yeah, it's smart what they've done in terms of, you know, the way that their filament seems to perform better and at all. Yep. It's got a little ecosystem they've built there.
Paruso is pretty good too, but there was just like another level of synchronicity with bamboo world.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Thanks for the prompt on the bad link on the configurator. I just ran the same Google search and came across the like the VividWorks platform is showing up within that Google search. So like the old one that we used to pay, and it's not loading, but it's still showing up in search, which is curious.
It's probably like a dead link, I suppose, but
yeah.
But that's right.
Crunch.
It what's unfortunate, well though I'm not your audience, is it was the second link when I searched for Kitaparts Builder. It doesn't take you to a builder. Which who knows? People are gonna find it if they want it. I don't think they're gonna run away from it, but you would probably want it to be the top if possible.
Yes, please. Nobody knows.
Maybe we have to cut this. I just also found, I'll put a little mark here. Are you on a website called Handcrafted with a K?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a
somebody was drop shipping your shit.
Nah, that's deliberate. They do like, we get some custom inquiries through that. So like it's a coagulator of makers, and like people can post a brief to it and say, I want a cabinet. And then it gets sort of filtered out to a few makers who are aligned with what they're after. And then you make a thing for someone and pay a percentage back to Handcrafted. We got some good work through it.
Right. Maybe those are for different things too.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Me, tricky. I've heard of them.
It's tricky from a margins point of view, because you're not really supposed to add their fees onto your cost. But like, if I don't add their fees onto my costs, then it's not actually worth doing the job. So kind of have to. Yep. But
yeah,
we've got some good work through.
Furniture is always tough like that, right? Where it's like you can't really like do a wholesale Keystone markup unless you're like making it overseas, and even then it's tough. We found, we're cleaning some stuff out, I don't know. I can't keep track of time anymore. A couple weeks back, and Ricky nor I remembered multiple boxes of iMac bases. Like,
yeah.
We had people ask about them recently, and typically I've gone, yeah, those are discontinued, we're not making any more, but we have like a couple still available, so we just keep them available. And we're like, God, should we? They were like machined and sanded and ready to put the black finish on, basically. And then it kind of looked like we just ran out of finish, almost, is what we could figure out. But they were like pretty ideal, perfect products. We had four of them. And so since people had asked about them, I was like, all right, we'll finish them. And so Ricky just did that yesterday. And it's been like 2+ years, and I will say I am very proud of that. It is one of the early products that we made really good guides for.
Oh, awesome.
He didn't ask me one question about how to do it other than that we needed finish ordered. Sick. And they look amazing, which was always a little bit tricky to get done well. Kind of one reason why we didn't continue making more was it was like the finishing process was, you know, a little outside of our norm for things. But so I don't, we have a few. I'm going to send out a, I also couldn't remember how to send NAC EDMs. and I finally remembered where it was. And I was like, I had to like go through my own email and be like, where did the last one come from last year?
Awesome.
Successful, you know, sub brand here.
Yeah. Coming.
Yep.
Well.
Sorry, I'm feeling well still.
Final marks. Yeah, thank you.
Are you the only one of the family?
Yep. Just me. Everyone else is good. Running some blood tests, just checking that it's not some tropical Queenslander disease that I've picked up north, but dang.
Queensland disease. You're now
fingers,
a queen.
Fingers crossed. I'll be better soon.
Yeah. That's not good.
Who's Mark D? Final thought.
Oh.
Before we run.
We had a question through our Instagram,
really?
And I posted that
cool.
We had no show, and I was like, Mark's a long time listener from the beginning.
Hi, Mark.
I guess we do it now. He asked, how do you break free from habits and patterns that you know you should change? And when I read it, I was like, have you heard this show?
Like, we don't.
Wait, it's... haven't you heard the loop we talk about?
Yeah. Years of looping. Well...
How should we is the question, right?
How can we? I am somewhat proud of my screen time progress lately. Combination of tools, apps, guy seemingly having to go to extreme measures to try and break my phone addiction. I can't say I'm there yet, but I'm making progress. I think trying to do it jointly with Laura makes a big difference. I think I was thinking about this last night. If I lived alone, I think I would find it much more difficult to just because there's no peer pressure of like, get off your phone. And we do, like, Laura and I will in the habit now of doing that to each other, of like questioning, like, hey, do you need to do that now? What can I wait? And so that's helped.
Which is a hard.
Yeah. That is hard. Like that in itself can be challenging, hard to do, a bit of a, you know, a challenging thing to hear at times of like, yeah, do need to do this now.
I do.
Piss off.
Do you that.
So, yeah. Making progress, but... And the other sort of habit thing that I've been aware of trying to sort of improve lately is just my commitment to a single note-taking platform, which, again, this is a classic parts department loop that we've chatted about so many times, but of just, like, committing to workflowy, not faffing around in other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Workflowy reminds me every time I log in. Of like, oh, thanks for being a user for 450 weeks. And it's like, yeah, I've got so much good stuff in here. And some one upside of bricking my phone and making no fun apps available is that I've started actually checking, you know, because I still have a phone addiction. I still reach for my phone and look for something to do. Is I've started opening Workflowy and actually looking at what's in there and taking a second to actually look back and go, oh, yeah, that was a good idea. Cool. And just actually reviewing my notes, which I previously have done a terrible job of just like it's just a working day-to-day list and I'm never looking back at stuff. So that's been good. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So yeah, that's my hot take. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, that attention economy thing is... There was a period of life where I felt like I was doing terrible and I did really well for like a year, I want to say. Set up all these task systems and project management for myself. And then that worked pretty well until I started having employees. And then somehow my own system fell. It was the pandemic. That was where it all went to crap for me. And I never regained my like...
Interesting.
This phrase has been stuck in my head. It's a book that I've heard of. It's all too much. It was all too much to like also deal with scheduling stuff for myself and like planning things. And I was just like, I'm just surviving. Like I got to get through this. So I don't do that very much with things, but I was just like, so I don't know. That's not an answer. I don't have a good answer. I'm pretty bad at that. Well, I also should probably do something about phone addiction. It's been noted, and it's just so available and so many tools to do things with that it's kind of impossible for me to imagine not having it for an extended period of time, but
yeah,
that's probably not good. On that light note,
yeah,
what's this?
Thanks for tuning in.
Okay,
the end.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Ding dong. Do you wanna be my quarantine? Catch my tropical Queensland disease. It's all I want, babe, you and me.